The White House last week helped broker a deal to avoid a potential railroad strike. That agreement still needs approval from unions, though, which is not a guarantee. In a recent letter to congressional leaders, my next guest writes, railroading used to be the gold standard of blue-collar jobs, but has, quote, deteriorated so drastically over the last 5 years that employees are now walking away, end quote. Greg Hines is the National Legislative Director for Smart Transportation Division. That stands for Sheet Metal Air Rail Transportation, and he joins me. And Greg, in your letter, you say railroading used to be the gold standard of blue-collar jobs, but not anymore. So what's changed?
Well, it's something called precision scheduled railroading, which was driven by Wall Street and the hedge fund managers on Wall Street, which incentivizes the railroads to cut their manpower as much as humanly possible. And it's affected both shippers and safety and quality of life for our members.
You also wrote about mid-career resignations being at an all-time high. How prevalent is it that railroaders would take that step?
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because I'm a fifth-generation railroader, and I've been in the railroad industry a long time. And it's always been a career. People would hire out with the railroad, and that was going to be their career. They were going to work the railroad until they reach railroad retirement. But conditions have gotten so bad on the railroad that people are just saying that they can't do it, and they're quitting. Some people with 20 years are quitting. They're walking away from railroad retirement because the working conditions are so bad.
Which conditions specifically are the ones that you think are causing people to walk away?
The main thing I would say would be the availability policies that these railroads have implemented. It used to be, it was a great job. You were away from home a lot, but if you needed to take time off, you could. And, you know, when you take that time off, you're not getting paid. It's not costing the railroads. But now they have these availability policies. And for example, on the BNSF, they only allow one rest day a month. And that's the majority of our members work through freight. So they take a train from town A to town B. Those are the ones that are most affected by these availability policies. Now, there are people that get to work in the yard jobs or road switchers or locals, and they have set days off. But the majority of our members, they're being told by the railroads, you have one day a month.
And as you write, they may or may not be in a place where they can or want to take that day.
Correct. Correct.
So for folks who are leaving, what are they going to do after they work in the railroad? As you say, some for many decades.
Well, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're faced with a situation where they either have to sacrifice their family or work for the railroad, continually work for the railroad. For example, on a through freight job, someone who takes a train from one town to the next, they get a 10-hour call. They get a 2-hour call. They go to work. They take the train to the other destination. They get off. They go to the hotel room. And what the railroads are doing to get away from giving them any time off at home is they keep them in the hotel for more than 24 hours to reset their clock in compliance with hours of service regulations for rest. Because even through freight people are supposed to, if they work 6 days in a row, they're supposed to get 2 days off. So what the railroads do is they keep them at their away from home terminal and leave them there for over 24 hours so they can restart the clock. So when they get back home, they can be called back to work within 10 hours. So somebody who's with their family, they go to work, they're gone 2 or 3 days, they come back and they're only with their family 10 hours, and then they're gone for another 2 or 3 days. You know, that's not good for anybody in their family life.
What was it in the past that made these jobs so attractive to people?
Well, because they're good paying jobs and they have a lot of freedom to it. And, you know, you're on a train, you don't have a boss looking over your shoulder. You know what your job is. You get the train over the road, and you had good railroad retirement, good health care benefits, all of that. But when you weigh the wages, the health care benefits, and the railroad retirement against, well, I have to give up my family, that doesn't work.
So there is a tentative agreement on the table to avoid a strike. Does that deal with the time off issues that you addressed earlier?
It's a start. There are some things in the tentative agreement that do deal with the availability policies. But, you know, this is the first time that we've cracked the door on availability policies, because the railroads held to the notion that they don't have to collectively bargain availability policies. They can just implement them. So this is the first time we've cracked the door on that to address that and give some relief to our members.
So does that lead you to think that your members think it's enough, or maybe a starting point for further negotiations?
Well, I don't think our members think it's enough, because they've been so abused. It's as if they're in an abusive relationship. But it's a step in the right direction, and it opens the door for further negotiations on future contracts.
And obviously, there has been a lot of talk about, if there was a strike, how disruptive that would be to the U.S. economy. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what would that look like?
Well, you know, the thing that's so interesting about that is that the railroads were willing to shut down the economy at $2 billion a day because they didn't want to give people unpaid time off to go to a doctor, to go to deal with a family issue if they have a sick child or anything like that. I mean, we've had members fired because they got a heart attack and couldn't go to work. So it's egregious, and most people would find it unbelievable that the railroads are getting away with this kind of thing in 2022.
And I know that you don't have a crystal ball in front of you, but would it be your expectation that this deal is ratified to avoid a strike? And then, as you say, maybe the door has been cracked to maybe push it open a little bit further on future contracts?
You know, that's really hard to say. I know that our members are, the morale is lower than it's ever been in my career, and they are so angry with the abuse they've been putting up with the railroads that, you know, I'm not sure that the tentative agreement will pass. I think it's a good agreement, but I understand how our members are so upset from the abuse they've been taking over the last several years.
If it doesn't pass for you, does that mean strike? Does it mean further talks? What do you think goes on after that?
Well, it could go a few different ways. And there's also other unions. There's another union, the machinists, that have rejected their proposal. So, you know, and if one union goes on strike, they all go on strike. And, you know, I want to come to resolution. I want to come to a good deal and provide for our members.
Greg Hines is National Legislative Director for Smart Transportation Division.